Hi everybody, this is Jackie from ESLActivity.org, and today I'm going to do a solo episode. It will be about the top 10 ESL teacher mistakes, and then of course I'll offer some solutions, so how to avoid or how to fix these mistakes. So the first mistake that teachers make is taking things too personally. So by this I mean that students have so many other things going on in their lives, and your class is just a very, very, very small part of the bigger picture. So, if students are grumpy, maybe they're sleepy, maybe they're a little bit angry, or they're hangry, or just whatever is going on that doesn't make them happy or happy to be in your class participating well. I mean, it sometimes has a little bit to do with you, but in many cases, it's just other things happening in their life. Maybe they're getting divorced, maybe their girlfriend just broke up with them, maybe they're hungry because they don't have enough food at home. There are a million and one other reasons for students, to just maybe not be happy in your class. So, how to fix this is just always to keep this in mind. If students are struggling and maybe they're not behaving in the way that you would expect them to behave, I'll often just have a little talk with a student, just kind of ask, like, what's up? What's happening? You might have to do this with a co-teacher or one of the admin at your school if you don't share a common language well enough to have that conversation. But yeah, just kind of find out what's happening with students. And they may not tell you, and that's okay, but just keep in mind, it's not always you, and don't take it personally. Okay, so the second ESL teacher mistake is to not use a lesson plan. I know in some schools that I've taught at, and I mean, I've been there too back in my very early days of teaching, is that it sometimes can be kind of a source of pride of I never plan lessons. I just bring the book and open up the page and teach. I mean, it's sometimes possible if you have a very good ESL textbook and you have taught the class a million times. I mean, I'm not saying that it isn't possible, but I don't actually think that you'll get the best results from this. So make at least a very simple lesson plan. So for this, I mean, choose some things to review from their previous class as a little warm-up activity, set the context by kind of doing a little lead-in to the lesson, and then teach the vocabulary or the grammar or whatever it is, and then do some practice exercises. So start with some very controlled practice and then move into kind of some freer activities of some kind, and then do some review and give students some homework. So that's the simplest lesson plan you could ever do. It can even take as simple, like as short as 5 or 10 minutes for each class that you teach. And yeah, you'll be. It's like a security blanket, I guess. I mean, you can teach without one, but you'll be better served, and the students will be better served if you put a little bit of effort into doing this. All right, the third ESL teacher mistake is to feel the pressure to be an edutainer. So by this, I mean you're a half entertainer and then half educator. It's not really ideal. I mean, if I'm in a happy mood and feeling good about life, and it's maybe the first or second class of the day, and I still have lots of energy, I can be an edutainer as well. I can tell jokes and kind of be on stage and just have lots of laughs. But if you kind of set this expectation that you will always be fun and happy and always like, just be entertaining the students, that's actually very difficult to keep up. And some things about learning a language are serious, like teaching vocabulary, teaching complicated grammatical concepts. Those are serious things, and it doesn't always need to be super fun or super entertaining. Students are actually in your class to learn English. So focus on that, and if you have some fun as kind of a byproduct of that, then that's great. But if you don't, then don't worry too much about it. Students will actually just be happy if they are learning English, and the parents will be too if you teach children. So the solution, don't focus too much on this. It's okay to be a serious teacher, and just do it well, and don't worry too much about being super entertaining. All right, the fourth mistake that ESL teachers make is going too quickly. So I know that sometimes admin or parents or whoever give you an ESL textbook and then they say, okay, so do this whole textbook in one semester, like 3 months or 4 months or whatever it is. And I can tell you that sometimes it's physically impossible to make it through every single page and every single activity over the course of that period of time. So, what's the solution to this? I generally will pick, I'll cover all of the units that are assigned to me. But I will take kind of the best activities and maybe the theme of that lesson, the grammar points of that lesson, and I will build my own lesson plans surrounding those kinds of things. So I will use some of the textbook, but I won't feel pressure to do every single activity and every single listening exercise. I'll choose the best things, and then I'll kind of use that as the basis of my own lessons. So and then I will also do lots of review. So I leave time for review at the end of a class. I do review at the beginning of the next class. I taught in Korean universities, so I would have to give midterm and final exams. So the class before the midterm or the final, I would have a dedicated review class. So I did have a little bit of freedom in that I didn't have to teach a certain unit on any certain day. So if you have a bit of freedom too, then I recommend putting in lots of review. If you don't have a ton of freedom, then definitely don't feel pressure to cover every single activity in the textbook, but hit the highlights and really focus on them. I would way rather my students know a few things really, really well than a million things, only kind of half to a half degree. I want my students to walk away from my class with a solid understanding of a few basic things. Okay, so the fifth mistake that English teachers make is not learning names. And I know this can be very difficult if you have a classes of, say, like 20 students and you see them only once a week and you have 20 of those classes. It actually is impossible. But if you have smaller classes, then definitely make an effort to learn students' names. It's way better than saying, "Hey, you over there, what's the answer?" Or like, "Hey, you, stop sleeping, stop talking to your friend. Hey, you, get off your phone, put your phone away." If you know their names, you can say, "Hey, Mingyu, turn to page 7. Or, "Hey, Bob, we're not using our phones right now." Or, "Hey, Jenny, what is the answer to question 7? It just makes your class go so much more smoothly, and it also prevents some misbehavior. If students know that you know their names, especially with children, they know that you can contact their parents and tell their like head teacher or tell the principal, tell whoever that someone is misbehaving if you actually know their names. So the solution is, if you have a very big class or like lots of big classes and it's difficult to remember names, is to get students to make name tags. So name tags, ever since I started doing this, my classes actually just got so much better. So I get students to take just a piece of A4 paper, the standard printer paper, and fold it up into 3, like kind of the triangle, so you can make a little triangle stand on your desk. And then I get students to write their name on the name tag. So I taught in Korea, so the students could write it in their name in English. I could read Korean, so they could write their name in Korean, or they could use an English nickname or just a whatever, any nickname that they had, whatever they wanted me to call them. And then if they had a nickname or an English name, I just made sure to match that up with my attendance sheet just so I could kind of actually keep track of who it was and what their real Korean name was and whatever. So I would just caution against giving English names to students. I know that some teachers do this. I strongly disagree with it though. If students wanted to in my class, I would give them the option and they could. And I would say out of classes, I generally taught maybe around 30 people in my class, and I would say 1 or 2 students would use an English name in class, and the other 28 or 29 students would just use their Korean name. So that actually said a lot to me that when I gave them the choice, and sorry, that's my cat in the background. When I gave them the choice, not many people actually did that. So that tells me that people just like their names and they want to be called by their name. I don't want to take away their identity just because they're learning English with my students. Their name is their identity. And so I never want to be that person that takes it away. Okay, so that is the fifth ESL teacher mistake. And the sixth mistake that teachers make is not remembering the ultimate goal. So by this, I mean students are in your class for a reason. It can be something like maybe they want to make English speaking friends. Maybe they're trying to get a higher score on the IELTS exam or the TOEFL exam. Maybe their parents are making them be in that class. Maybe the university makes a mandatory English class for them. Maybe they have to pass an English job interview or whatever. So the mistake that teachers make is not keeping this in mind. So how you can fix that is to actually ask students why they're in your class and how you can help them. I often get very specific answers from students. Something like, "I need to pass this English exam," or "I need to improve my writing for some whatever thing that they need to do," or "I want to have English speaking friends," or whatever. So tailor your lessons to the needs of the students, and the students will really appreciate it. All right, the seventh mistake the teachers make is not using graded language. So if I'm teaching beginners to English and I'm talking how I am now at the speed I am and using the grammatical structures, I almost guarantee that students are going to understand almost nothing. They can maybe pick out a word here or there, a vocabulary word that maybe they know, but they're not going to understand the gist or the overall meaning of what I'm actually saying. So you can grade your language in two ways. The first is to speak more slowly, and the second is to use simpler grammar and vocabulary. So depending on the level of students, you could do both things, you could do one of the things. So just use your best judgment about where the students are at, and always be looking at students' faces. It tells a lot if students are understanding, if they're following, if they're confused. So keep an eye out for that and really adjust your language to that. So what I don't recommend doing is using baby talk is ridiculous, especially if you're teaching adults or say like teenagers. Nobody wants to be talked to like they're a baby. Just because they don't understand English well doesn't mean that they're stupid or that they are juvenile or anything like that. And the second thing I don't recommend doing is to do things like dropping articles or using incorrect grammar. It's not a good language example for your students when you start doing this. So just speak in a normal way, using correct grammar and using correct vocabulary, but either make it simpler or slower. Okay, so the eighth mistake that teachers make is not making eye contact with everybody. So I realized I made this mistake when I was teaching a public speaking and presentation class. And ironically, I was teaching my students about making eye contact with people. And my students, we had a very just kind of fun, cooperative class. And I just got along well with the students. And we would joke around. And then one brave student said, "Hey, Jackie, you actually never look at the front left." And I said, "Oh, really?" And then the whole class said, students just said, "Yeah, I don't like sitting there because you never actually look at me." And then I said, "Oh no, thanks for telling me." And it was an eye opener, and I really did make an effort to look and scan the entire classroom. And I think it's a tendency for people, if you're right-handed, that you will look to the right side more than you look to the left side. So it's kind of something that you'll have to combat, and not everybody won't look to the front left. So everyone kind of has what I call their dead spots. So kind of be aware of that and just make sure that you're actually making eye contact with everybody in the class. It depends how big your class is, but say every like 15 to seconds to about 1 minute. Making eye contact with people actually makes students pay attention in a much better way, and it makes them feel like they're part of the class and that you care about them and what they're doing in that class. The next mistake the teachers make is to make their class too teacher-centered. So I am quite good at English, having grown up in Canada and going to an English-speaking school my entire life. So I actually don't need that much practice in English. I don't need to talk more. I don't really need to practice writing more. I'm quite good at reading. I'm quite good at understanding everything I hear in English. So I don't actually need the practice. It's my students who need the practice. So a mistake that a lot of teachers make is kind of standing at the front of the class and just kind of being on stage and talking and talking and talking. And students are just kind of these passive recipients of your speaking, but that's not actually that helpful for students. How people learn a language is by practicing and using the language. It's not by listening to a lecture. So do whatever you can to get students involved and get them speaking and reading and writing and listening. So the best way to often do this, unless you teach like a private one-to-one class or one-to-two class, is to put students into partners or groups and then have them work together. Have them talking together, have them comparing answers, have them just doing, that's kind of the base unit of my class, would be partners. So avoid the temptation to talk too much, to be on stage, and instead have students do the hard work. I'm not saying take it easy, but I am a little bit saying take it easy. So take it easy. Students need to be doing the hard work and not you. All right, the 10th teacher mistake that people make is not following through. So whatever you kind of threaten or offers reward, whatever it is, follow through no matter what. So if you tell students that you're going to take away their phone if they're using it inappropriately in class, and someone starts using their phone to like text whoever or play a little game, actually take their phone away for the rest of the class. If you promise, maybe like students, if everyone gets whatever score on their vocabulary test, you promise them a pizza party, actually follow through and do the pizza party. If you kind of get the reputation as a teacher who doesn't follow through on what they say, it's actually going to be an uphill road for you at that school. Students will have no respect for you and they will not actually listen to what you're saying. It's the same with parents who don't follow through with their kids and let their kids walk all over them. The same thing can happen to teachers very, very easily. This applies to like kids, teenagers, university students. Maybe adults would still have a baseline level of respect, even if you didn't follow through with things. But even then, they're not going to like love your class if you promise something and don't follow through. People will kind of feel like, oh, hey, why didn't she like keep her promise? And it's not going to be good. So always follow through on things you say and don't promise things you can't do, and don't make threats that you're not willing to actually follow through on. Okay, so those are my top 10 ESL teaching mistakes and then also some ways to fix or avoid them. If you want some more tips and tricks for teaching English, be sure to check out my book, ESL Teaching for Dummies. I'll put the link in the notes for you, and you can also find it on Amazon. So ESL Teaching for Dummies by Jackie Bolin. Also, be sure to check out all the podcast information, eslactivity.org/podcast. And that's my website with activities and games and teaching ideas for just about everything under the sun. So just have a search around there, and I'm sure you'll find something useful for your class tomorrow. And please be sure to review this podcast wherever you listen to it. I would love 5 stars, but leave an honest review, and I would definitely appreciate that. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone, and I will catch you next time. Bye.